Member-supported Jazz 90.1 proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415 or soundbites.org. Now, alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. America, and all the chips in the PC. It is Saturday, the 6th of February, Anno Domini 2010, and you, you lucky people, you're listening to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Henry.
I'm Steve Ray.
And we're going to be bringing you news, views, stuff you can use, a few things to choose, hopefully nothing you lose. And we'll start out with Facebook. Facebook turned 6 years old on Thursday and is finding itself the hip new way to get your ideas out online. Blogging is out. Facebook is in. Just like red wine and classical music, blogging attracts a more mature audience, while the younger set prefers to share their lives via social networks. That's according to a survey recently released by the Pew Research Center's Internet and American Life Project entitled Social Media and Young Adults, which continues their obsession with tracking the digital habits of the so-called millennial generation, defined in the study as young adults between the ages of 18 and 29. The Pew Research Center's Internet and American Life Project, entitled Social Media and Young Adults, for some reason, is called PIAP, PIAP. I don't know why. The survey found that blogging has dropped by 9% among millennials in the last 2 years. During that period, however, blogging won over more online adults aged 30 and over, with a 4-point rise from 7 to 11%. It's not just the millennials that are kicking blogging to the curb either. The teenage blogging population has been cut in half. Instead of blogging, kids these days are signing up in droves for social network sites like Facebook and MySpace. The PIAP survey says 73% of internet-loving teens are now using social networking websites, which is a significant uptick from previous studies. While millennials and older adults may differ on the importance of blogging in their digital lives, both groups favor Facebook. 71% of young adults use Facebook, as do 75% of those 30 and over. 66% of younger teens, on the other hand, prefer MySpace. The PIAP survey also found that younger people aged 12 to 17 are less likely to use Twitter than millennials and adults. So our poll of the week at soundbites.org, that's bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you, has to do with this study. So the question is, what's your favorite social medium? Your choices are Facebook, Twitter, MySpace, blogging, I love them all, a stone slab and a chisel, and I don't like people, I don't like you, and I really don't like polls. I did leave out Second Life, as somebody in the opinions reminded me, but and I apologize for that, but this really, I was following the poll from the other guy. So far, we've got... I get confused by this, and I don't know why. All right, here we go.
57.
We have 57 people in the who've answered the poll already. Now, I know you folks. I know that simply clicking a button is not going to be enough for you. So when you're done actually taking the poll, look at the little yellow box underneath it. Click on Give Us Your Opinion. It will take you to my website, AskNick.com.
That's AskNick.com.
Where you can leave your opinion. And we've got the opinion, of course. The question is, what's your favorite social medium and why? And four people have answered, and they've already given me. Out of those four people, two of them have given me choices I didn't have before, sound bites and the phone. But you can leave your opinion. When you're there, please take a look at my stuff. I put out a newsletter fairly regularly, and I have my set of forums, and I do every week I send out tips and tricks, rants and raves, questions and answers, websites of the week, and the nice thing about it is if you're a member, you can search all of that and find all kinds of answers and interesting places and stuff like that. And it's only $15 a year, so I have no idea why you wouldn't want to join. And then, of course, come on back to soundbites.org and join us and all the fun we're having at that website as well. In the meantime...
Well, I'm going to say on a similar vein, you should check out failbooking.com from the people who brought you Failblog.
That I haven't seen yet. I keep meaning to go and look at it, but I'm already wasting enough time on all that other stuff.
There, that'll fix it, was a good one.
That's a good one. People of Walmart.
People of Walmart. That'll buff out.
Sleep talking man.
I haven't seen that
one
yet.
Oh, that's a great one.
Life lessons from Twitter. What was the good one this morning? If you're at your computer and your cat is sitting on your lap, don't stand up suddenly. The cat will use every claw it has to stay in place.
Yep.
Pants only make it hurt longer.
Yeah. That's painful just thinking about it.
Yeah. All right. All right. Let's go to the phones. Our first caller is Rich. Rich, where are you calling from?
Hi, guys. I'm in Rendaquite.
Rendaquite, New York. What can we do for you?
I think I may have a little bit of a fix for you. Dave, you were talking about last week about getting a new cell phone and not having the internet service, we'll say, or that $10 fee.
Yeah, yeah.
My girlfriend had gotten a new phone that was supposedly internet capable, called them up and said, you know, I'm not going to use this. You know, I want to take it off, and they removed it from her and took the $10 charge off.
Yeah. All right.
Well, then the problem is, because I've heard about this happening too, is if you accidentally open the internet, since you don't have a plan, you're now paying by the K.
Well, but I've done it myself like that too, yeah. And it asks you first whether or not you want to continue with it.
Now, not all phones do. My phone doesn't ask me.
There's a safety thing in there, I guess.
Yep. Rich, one thing I have to ask you. Now, did she already have this phone, or was it a purchase of a new phone?
No, brand new internet type phone. The guy told her, well, you know, you have to get this because of this phone. You have to get the internet use. And she goes, well, I really don't want that. And he goes, well, then you got to take these lesser phones or whatever.
Okay.
Which is the same answer you were getting.
Yeah, because, the one thing that really got me was, you know, I can see some of these phones. They've got real nice, nice size screens. Well, I wouldn't say as big as my 22-inch monitors at home. But, you know, I mean, they've got a decent screen. That you could do texting and that type of stuff, or the web on. But the one that I was looking at, it was like the Samsung Alias 2. And that's got such a small screen, even with my bifocals, I still need a magnifying glass just to see what the heck is on the screen if I was surfing.
Yeah,
it would
like
be
I
so
said,
stupidly
her,
small.
Well, you got to have this because it's an internet phone. She came home like a day later and called them up, and they said, well, yeah, we'll put it's called a national block or something like that.
Well, I know they were getting a lot of hits on their webpage, you know, saying, hey, this is a bad plan. Before, I could pick what I wanted, and that was great. That's what they were known for, being able to pick whether you wanted to get into it or not.
Yeah,
be able to opt. But just to be able to tell them carte blanche, well, sorry, this phone is this. You got to take this.
Yeah. I guess you got to do it at the store because they won't let you out of the store with it without doing it. But once you call, then the, you know, star or pound ones or 611 or call the 1-800 number and talk to them, they'll, you know, and didn't even give her a fight or anything like that. Like, you know, you got to keep it because this is the phone you have and everything. No, we'll put a national block on it. And is there anything else we can do for you?
Yeah, that was.
See, that's nice. That's nice. I like that.
Now, that's customer service. Yeah. And that's where it's going to get a lot more folks coming to, you know, especially since they're going up against AT&T right now. And AT&T is, you know, throwing it, oh, well, this red map isn't that great. You know, they.
Yeah. You know, exactly. And, Nick, I can't get your droid. I'm sorry.
Yeah. well, I want my droid. I so want a droid.
I haven't seen one yet close up, but I heard they're pretty nice.
Oh, they're just phenomenal. There's a great billboard on the expressway that mocks me every time I go by. It just says, a bare-knuckled bucket of does, the droid.
Yeah, I saw that one.
Did somebody put that up purposely? So
I'm sure they did, because it's right near my exit.
They knew.
They knew, yeah. Well, thanks anyway, Rich. I appreciate your time.
Thanks for last note.
Yeah, no problem. And good luck with it, Dave, if you do go get it.
Well, yeah, like I said, I'm going to have to wait until, like Nick, I've got to wait also until June. But, you know, I was looking it over. Matter of fact, the wife got one, and I've been looking at hers.
Sure.
But, yeah, I'd still like to, there's a couple of them out there that I really like. But thank you, though, Rich. Really appreciate it.
No problem. Have a good day.
You too, sir.
Thanks. Yeah, I love it when our... when our listeners call in with the answers or
whatever. Well, that's good. Well, I mean, they were getting a lot of publicity, bad publicity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, telling folks all of a sudden now, you know, if you've got a phone that's got, you know, the, say, just the basic, you know, cell phone calls and texting, you're paying for those plans. But now to all of a sudden say, no, and now we're going to give you, because this is what the majority of folks want, Is web surfing? No. It's not. Some of these phones that they classified as, I think they classify them as smartphones.
Well, there's regular phones, and there's feature phones, and then there's smartphones. The feature phones, like the Envy, they have a big keyboard. So obviously you're meaning to text on them a lot, and you're meaning to web surf on them a lot, because there's a big keyboard to type with. Well, and I'm saying, well, no, I have older eyes. I need a big keyboard to see it with.
Well, exactly.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, those screens. Hello?
Yeah.
I mean, just alone, I've got an iTouch. And I'm constantly wanting to get something.
Three and a half inch screen is kind of small sometimes.
Well, you never see my fingers. You know, I'm getting carpal tunnel just between thumb and index finger, making it bigger.
Yeah, right.
It's like, you know.
See, that's why an iPad would work for you. Yeah. You want something that's 10 inches in diagonal, mm-hmm. so that you can actually see that stuff.
And did you see Stephen Colbert at the Grammys? He pulled a live iPad out of his pocket and you know, was holding it up, and that was where the list of winners was. And it was a live functioning iPad, because as he was waving it around, you could see it trying to reorient itself. And so the whole blogosphere is going nuts. How did Stephen Colbert get a working iPad?
Well, I have to admit, you know, when you're that famous, you get that kind of stuff. But he's getting a little egotistical, I think. You know, they named a space station after him, and he's part of the Olympics, and he's got the iPad, and he's got Captain America's shield, and he's got all this. It's like, you know what? I get it. You're famous. You're important. Shut up now.
Yeah. Yeah, the big question, or the other thing we've been hearing about television is, because the iPad looks so cool, a lot of TV shows are anxious to get their hands on one. I get Jack Bauer's going to use one on 24.
I'm sure.
Yep.
Not that I watch 24.
Yeah,
but
yeah. I started
I'm
watching
into torture porn.
I started watching it first season and then missed a couple episodes and got hopelessly lost and had to give up.
Yeah. All right. Our next caller is Bodan. Where are you calling from, Bodan?
Snowy Rochester.
Snowy Rochester, as opposed to some other Rochester, right?
Well, it could be worse.
That's right.
I have got a question in regards to Mozilla Firefox.
Sure.
I am having a difficulty on having a particular web page load its images properly, so I went back to the default Internet Explorer, and it loads properly there. And if you guys want to check, maybe you can help me out. I actually went under Tools to Options to make sure that one of the options is to have images load automatically under Content, and it is checked. The website is buffaloairport.com. That page loads properly. I see all the graphics and you know, there's movement, so there's got to be ActiveX or Java. But then when I click on Flight Arrivals, under the flight, there's supposed to be the name of the airline and its logo. I get nothing in Firefox. When I go to that same web page with Internet Explorer, it loads properly.
What version of Firefox are you using?
I'll tell you that right now. 3.6.
Maybe it's too new. I just tried it in 3.5.6 and it worked. I haven't upgraded to the 3.6 yet.
I have it in 3.6. And that's the only page.
No,
when
it didn't.
I click on the arrivals or departures, I do not see the airline name and its logo.
It didn't work completely, yeah.
Now, here's an interesting thing. I'm using Chrome on Linux, and I'm seeing them, but they're halfway off the screen. The reality is this is just horribly bad HTML code.
So you think this is a website?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it's bad code at the other end.
Absolutely no question to that. Try it in...
Yeah, and Safari shows a square where the graphic should be, but it's half off the screen.
Right, and it's half off the screen. So clearly it's the code that's bad, and obviously whoever programmed it only ever looked at it in an Internet Explorer, just lazy programming again.
Okay.
It worked in IE, and that's all they care about.
I wonder if IE 6, 7, or 8 would make a difference.
Yeah, which IE are you using, did you say? Okay.
But at the other end, maybe. You know, maybe they were only using
six or seven or eight.
Right. Yeah.
I just normally images and stuff like that have problems in Internet Explorer, and when I opened up Mozilla Firefox, it loads properly in Firefox. This is the other way around. This is it loads correctly in Internet Explorer, and the issue with my particular browser is in the Firefox.
They don't even have alt tags. This is a lousy programming job. That's all it is. If anybody in the Buffalo Airport is listening, whoever the guy or gal is who actually coded this, did a lousy job. Sorry, just
maybe
the way it works.
Send them an email. I'll click on contact them.
They might not be aware of it.
And it doesn't even have this page best viewed with.
Yeah.
Remember those olden days when you had to have IE or Netscape?
Not only that, I remember when the IRS said, actually had a little a thing on the screen with two arrows, little dotted line with two arrows, and said, set your browser to this width.
Yep.
That's the government for you.
All right, so sounds like it is not my computer, nor was there anything wrong with the Firefox browser on my computer.
Nope,
it's definitely their website.
It's definitely their website.
Gentlemen, I always appreciate your knowledge and your expertise.
Thank you, Bodan. Have a great week.
Give up.
Folks actually believe us?
Unbelievable.
Yep.
Hey, it got him off the phone. That's job number one for tech support, isn't it?
Yeah, get him off the phone.
Get the guy off the phone.
So we've been doing this so long that...
But no, seriously, that's just simply bad programming on their part.
Ooh, no.
All right, we're gonna take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. You are listening to the longest running computer show in the known universe. We are Soundbites, and we are right here every week on member supported Jazz 90.1.
Computer talk you can understand. More Sound Bites is next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
America's longest-running computer show, Sound Bites, celebrating 20 years.
Hi, this is Tom Pethick. Please join me every Monday evening from 6 to 9 as we take a journey into jazz. We'll hear music from homegrown jazz musicians such as vibist Joe Locke and the late legendary saxophonist Joe Romano. And, of course, we'll hear music from today's new artists. That's Monday evenings from 6 to 9, right here on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Jazz 90.1 is supported in part by our members and the Incredibly Edible Cookie Company. The Incredibly Edible Cookie Company, located in Rochester, New York, is an artisan bakery that uses fresh ingredients in all their products. They feature chocolate coconut blizzards, ooey gooey quads, three varieties of hot chocolate, decadent chocolate enrobed brownies, and a chocolate bark that may be customized to your taste. Tea time confections, brownies, handmade chocolates, and favors are available for any special event. For more information, you may visit www.iecc-cookie.com.
This is another National Wildlife Refuge Minute. In Wallkill River National Wildlife Refuge in northern New Jersey, that hammering sound could only be one thing: the pileated woodpecker in search of a meal. One of the most recognizable birds in all of nature, the pileated woodpecker's large size and red crest served as inspiration for one of America's most beloved cartoon characters, Woody Woodpecker. The holes pileated woodpeckers create are often big enough to become nesting areas for smaller birds. A forest full of pileated woodpeckers looking for lunch would sound like a drum line at a parade, and maintaining healthy forests in the wildlife refuge helps the beat go on. Every wildlife refuge is full of unique and unforgettable experiences. With over 500 refuges, you don't have to go far to make a special connection with nature. Learn more at fws.gov/refuges. That's fws.gov/refuges.
What do you love about the radio?
I just like the variety, because it can put you in different moods and you don't know what to expect. I think my favorite part is you don't know what to expect. So I always get excited when a song is over, because I'm excited for what the next song is going to be.
New artist Caitlin Crosby loves radio.
Still have my heart. You still have my heart.
Discover Caitlin Crosby and other new artists where it's good to be heard. Radio. Always something new and fresh, always free. Go to RadioHeardHere.com.
Hello, this is Joelle Van Buren. Join me weekday mornings from 6 till 10 on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And at 23 minutes after the hour, we our sound bites.
And Nick and I did a little more research during the break there and found that in Chrome and Safari, if we make the text too small to read, then the icon shows up.
Right.
Completely.
And so we clearly know that the programmer for this thing has a giant monitor and didn't bother to make it useful for anybody else, just themselves.
And that the airline logo that it's trying to display is a flash object.
It's a flash object of a static image.
Right. It's not a GIF or a PNG or a JPEG. It's a flash animated object of staticness.
Clearly, this is somebody that you like got the book, you know, Flash in 24 hours and read up on it. And now
Flash 101.
Well, have you been following the arguments between Apple and Adobe over Flash?
Yes, I have. Did you read the
argument? Jobs called Adobe just lazy.
Yes. Did you hear the, and I don't know the Flash, I don't know that I want Flash anymore anyway. I'd rather have HTML5, frankly. Yeah. But did you also hear that Apple rejected a guy's app from the App Store? Because in the description, and they told him this, in the description, he said it was one of the winners of Google's Android app contest.
Ooh.
And they actually wrote to him and said, you may not use the word Android in our applications.
Unless
is that unbelievable?
Trademark Lucasfilm.
No. No,
that's
not
just,
Droid.
That's just Droid.
Right,
yeah.
Not Android.
Yep.
And so apparently they've got an anger on for the Android operating system. And I'm sorry, but that's just a little heavy-handed for my personal taste.
They also just announced that you can't use the location awareness, location-based programming, just for advertisements, which I kind of like.
I like that.
Yeah, there are programs. In fact, I just Greg Grundenberg from Heroes has a program that shows you deals. So you're in a store, and your iPhone, iPod knows where you are, and it shows you what deals are in that store. And it's electronic coupons. You go up to the register, you show them your iPod screen, and they type in this coupon for you. But because it's location aware, and you're asking for the ad. But if you write a program that all it does is pop up little ads as you walk by a store, that will get rejected.
Right. All right, our next caller is Chris. Welcome, Chris. Where are you calling from?
I'm actually calling from Orchard Park, but I live in Gates.
All right, we'll take Orchard Park, New York.
Is there a Bills game today?
No, visiting friends.
You're waiting for tomorrow, right?
Yeah.
They're not playing tomorrow either, are they?
Oh, gee, it's too late to drive home. I'll just sleep here tonight. No, you want to come home. If they're blacked out there, maybe, well, they'd be blacked out here too. So what's your question, Chris?
Yes, I have an iTouch, and I've been having a little bit of problem with the apps on the updates. And I did call Apple, and they tried to help me a little bit, but bottom line is I just dumped them, and then things worked. But the thing I'm really questioning for you guys today is my podcasts are like running in fast mode. It's like everybody's talking like this as fast as they can, and it doesn't matter which one it is, but they're all talking like this.
Well, if it's ours, then yeah, that's exactly the way it is.
Yeah, we talk really fast in high pitch. There's a button on the screen. I don't have my iPod in front of me. It's in the upper right corner just underneath the progress bar that shows you how far into the podcast you're getting. And it's a three toggle button that goes from 2x to half x to 1x. So you may have accidentally tapped that 2x button.
Don't mess mine up.
Yeah, I got to get to it. You don't have music on your homepage?
Some people use their iPod for other stuff.
There's music. So when you're playing a podcast or an audiobook even, there's the option to play it at double speed or half speed. And you may have accidentally tapped that control.
Oh, and I've never seen that control. So
yeah, they added it in version 3 of the OS, I think. So it's at the right end of the progress bar that shows you how long how long you have left. Yeah, it's a little tiny icon. If you can see really close, it'll say 1x, 2x, or half x.
Now, so she may well have just, in grabbing the thing wrong,
right,
when the screen wasn't locked,
tapped that 2X.
Tapped that, yeah.
Yeah.
The slide bar where it says how long it's been on?
Next to that, to the right of that.
Okay, got a 4.33, and then I got an arrow that's diagonal left and right, kind of. Is that the diagonal little box up above with arrows on it?
No, it should be right below the...
below it, sorry.
Below at the right end of the progress slider.
I've got the shuffle. It shows a shuffle thing for me.
And you're in a podcast or an audiobook.
Yeah.
Because it's
different. I'm in a podcast right now. And I got the slide bar. Underneath the numbers, I've got two lines across each other like you'd want to shuffle.
Right, that's the random play, yeah.
And then underneath, over to the left, I've got a circle with a 30 in it. And over to the way left, I got a envelope.
Yeah, that's the email a link.
Yeah. I'm not seeing that, what you guys are trying to tell me I have there.
Has she possibly got a different... She was having trouble with updates. Does she have a different version of something?
Yeah, are you running the 3.0 OS on it?
Yes, it's the latest update. When I go on, it says, yeah, you have,
they
you
just,
have the latest
Yeah, they
update.
Just released an update a week or so ago.
Well, no, I don't have the one from a week ago, right. I don't think. Because I updated it about a week ago.
Yeah, it was added before then. That's weird.
Oh, here it is. It is. On this one, it shows 2X.
Right. Yeah, so it only shows up under podcasts, under audiobooks, not generally on music itself.
And so what do I want, half X?
Well, you tap that, it goes to half X, so then it plays at half normal speed. Tap it again, and it goes to 1X and plays at normal speed.
Oh, that might be what it is then.
Yep. Yeah, it lets you fast forward through commercials. They also added a really nice go back 30 seconds. There's sort of a half semicircle, and it jumps back 30 seconds, so you can say, what did he say?
I like that.
Did he say what he thought he said?
I've seen that.
I wish they had a forward 2 minutes so you can jump through commercials.
Yeah, right.
That's why they don't have a forward 2 minutes. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, so that's handy when you know that you pushed it. But now that you found it, you can go back to the 1X.
Thank you so much.
Sure.
All right, there you go. Sometimes it's a little harder than we might think to find those things, particularly when they make a small change like that to the interface.
Yeah.
And they're not going to trumpet every small change they make, but there should be, and there might well be some sort of indication that everybody blows by when they update. So
right, yeah, it's in the update list that no one pays attention to.
Right.
Now Rick has talked about an issue that he's had when he's playing at half X. He gets an echo, I don't know if they fixed that yet. I haven't loaded the latest update myself. It's interesting. I don't know why you would play at half X. I could see 2X is for speeding through commercials, but half X, and it does it pretty good. It doesn't really make you sound like chipmunks, when it's
a
2X.
Well, you might want to do half X if you're trying to get into a certain segment.
Yeah, you're trying to listen really close.
You're trying to zero in, yeah.
It takes the space out between words and letters rather than actually playing it faster or slower.
Or if it's not necessarily a podcast, but, for example, you've recorded your professor talking and you want to write something down.
Yeah, you need to slow it down to understand what they said.
or to write it down.
Yeah, as you're taking notes.
Yep.
All right, our next caller is Cindy. Where are you calling from, Cindy?
Queensbury,
New York.
Yes.
Excellent. What can we do for you?
I've downloaded Firefox, and so I'm getting used to a few different things.
Right.
It seems to be that when I download programs, when I downloaded Avast, it took me like 4 tries to actually catch it. And now I'm trying to download Revo, and I get this little download... Not the old Internet Explorer download dialog box that I was used to. It's something that doesn't offer me any choices. As soon as I say download, I get this binary notification thing, and if I say yes, I get this download bar. And with Revo, it's over so fast.
There's an option.
What to do with it? I don't know.
There's an option in Firefox to close the download window when the download finishes, and that sounds like you have it turned on. So the download finishes and the window closes. So then you go to your downloads folder and open that program, or you can go into Firefox and turn that option off so that it doesn't close it immediately. And I think, is it in the Windows menu? Let me open my Firefox here. It's either in the Windows menu or the Tools menu. Tools menu will bring the download window back up.
Right. In mine, it's on main. It's under Firefox. It's under Preferences, the main section, under Downloads. It says Show Downloads Window When Downloading a File, and then you can check or uncheck Close It When All Downloads Are Finished.
So very small files don't take very long to download, and then so the window just closes again.
Right, but you can also set where it saves the files. So you can create a Downloads folder on your machine if you don't have one already. And make sure
that find one.
Well, if you can't find one, then make one.
And then set
it to that in Firefox, and then anything you download will always be there, so you'll know where it is, and you don't need that window open.
In fact, if you go to that main preference, it will tell you what your download folder is currently set to, and that will tell you where those files have been downloading
so I don't have to go hunting. I wind up putting it, have it go to my desktop, and then on my desktop I have a folder that I throw all the downloads to.
Now, the last three times I tried to download Revo, it's got an X It's got a red X by them. Does that mean it was not successful?
There should be two little icons next to it as it downloads. One is the standard start, stop, pause button that they all took from tape players. And next to that is the X, and if you click that X, it cancels the download. And if it's there in the thing with an X, it means after it's been downloaded, it means it wants to delete it.
So you can remove it from the list of things that you downloaded.
Right.
But that doesn't actually delete it from the computer. It just deletes
right.
it from
right.
the download
right, right, right,
list.
It's just off the list of things that you have downloaded.
No, I think we're talking two different things. In my little download box that lists everything I've downloaded since
mm-hmm.
I cleared it
yeah.
last night,
mm-hmm.
When I downloaded, like, I'm streaming right now. So it's got a little icon to the left, you know, of the stream. But the Revo icon is there with a red X by it.
That's so you can cancel the download.
I've got four already done.
And what that means
They've
is it's downloaded it four times, and if you were to click that X, it would remove that listing from the list of downloaded files. That's all it'll do. Go ahead, click the X. It makes it go away.
Yeah, my Mac,
no,
Firefox.
Please select the language it went. No, it's trying to install something. Should that?
Oh, no.
I don't know what you clicked on.
That's not your download list. That's your plugin list. It's showing you new plugins that can be installed, and there's an X if you don't want to install that plugin.
Oh, she's in a different window.
You're in a different window then.
What's the name of that window, at the very top of that window?
The one that installer language.
So now you're installing a program. You're not in Firefox anymore.
Right. So that X is part of Revo. It isn't some sort of
right.
a message.
Right.
Okay. When I see a red X, I think problem.
No, red X is cancel.
But it's part of Revo because Revo is uninstalling.
I'm not any longer sure exactly where you are, and I apologize.
Yeah,
for that.
Every window in Windows has a red X to close that window or cancel
right.
that window.
No, this isn't that red X.
Yeah,
this
I'm not sure where you are.
This is the upper right hand corner.
Right.
This is part of the visual icon for Revo, it looks like.
I got to be honest with you. I'm not at all sure where you are
okay.
at this point, and so I wouldn't go clicking on stuff.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I don't know what else to tell you.
I'll create a download and see if that
I'm sorry.
Download file yep. and try
nope.
and download
no,
it.
Yeah, then, yeah check your preferences so you know yep. where you're downloading it to.
Right. Quick question.
Yeah.
I think that your shop might not be updated because when you go to the shop, your shop tab, there are things that aren't in the shop. I see a Frisbee as an example. I see a backpack as an example.
Oh, I'll check that out. Thank you.
Okay. Okay, bye.
Thanks. I'll have to check to see if that's... Excuse me, I'm going to write that down. Steve, you talk for a minute.
Yeah, Cafe Press is the company we use for our shop. Really neat company. It's free to join, free to create products. You just upload a logo, and you can put your logo on mugs and T-shirts and coffee pots and anything you want. And then when it sells, you take the money. So it's a really neat way to have an automatic store, and they're adding new products all the time.
Not that anybody's been buying anything.
if you do pay for a professional account, then you can have multiple icons. You can have different types of products to sell. But it's a really neat way to have an instant store with your icon on it, and to do a. Say you're doing a family reunion and want to just, you know, run up a bunch of shirts. Sometimes it's cheaper than finding a T-shirt shop because it's basically one-off silk screening.
Right. There's half a dozen places online that'll do that, sell shirts and
yep.
a couple of other places.
Mm-hmm.
There's an amazing amount of stuff online. There's places where you can get buttons made. I think the place I went to was Busy Beaver Button. We had a friend who had – this is long before the movie The 300 came out. One of the kids who worked for me
at
RIT, good, great movie, but I worked at RIT, and one of my friends was complaining that he had filled up his phone's contact list with his friends. I said, how many people can you put in your phone? He said, only 300. Huh? Wow. Okay. So I said, we started razzing him and said, are we in the 300? He goes, yeah, you are. You guys are in the 300. So I had a whole bunch of buttons made up that said, I'm in the 300. And we all wore one day and then gave him the rest of the box. So that was the Busy Beaver Button Company, which was a pretty cool place. Nice buttons, pretty nifty stuff. Not terribly expensive for, I only bought 25 buttons. Mm-hmm. I didn't buy 300.
Yeah. No.
Now, my wife has a button machine, and we have to make our buttons manually.
That's it. Well, see, there you are. But this is a pretty neat little site. And there's places where you can get bumper stickers made and everything else. So it's all out there on the web. If you need those things, that's where to find it. I'll tell you that right now. There's sometimes it is, again, I will say this again, I much prefer doing business locally. But sometimes it's I don't know anybody in town who makes buttons, so I had them done online. But there are some pretty nifty places. If you can find it locally, there are a number of places in town that do shirts. All right, we're going to take another break. And we will be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. Give us a call. The number is 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Or toll free, 1-800-790-0415. Back just a couple of minutes from now with Sound Bites on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
It's America's longest-running computer show. Back to more Sound Bites with Nick, Dave, and Steve. Next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Hi, I'm Michelle Obama. The images from Haiti are heartbreaking. Homes, hospitals, and schools destroyed. Families searching for loved ones. Parents trying to feed their children. We can help the American Red Cross as it delivers the food, water, and medicine that can save lives. The people of Haiti are struggling to survive. Please visit redcross.org or call 1-800-RED-CROSS to help today. Brought to you by the American Red Cross and the Ad Council.
Helping you with your computer questions for over 20 years. Soundbites on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
You can only reach certain people through things like Facebook and MySpace. So for radio, it's great because it pushes us up to a new level and really just opens up opportunities for us that we didn't have before.
New artists like These Green Eyes, reaching new audiences every day where it all happens. Radio. To learn more, go to RadioHeardHere.com.
Businesses benefit from underwriting Jazz 90.1. Not only do you reach about 20,000 listeners a week, that includes listeners who only listen to jazz. In addition to being beneficial, underwriting Jazz 90.1 is very affordable. To find out how your business can benefit from underwriting Jazz 90.1, call 966-2660. That's 966-2660.
Hi, I'm Phil Dodd, and I think you'll like the mix of music I play every weekday afternoon. I play today's best artists as well as the classic performers who made jazz America's own special art form. I also feature the standards, songs that have stood the test of time and are constantly being reinvented by jazz musicians. So please join me, Phil Dodd, noon to 3, Monday through Friday, right here on Jazz 90.1.
Hi, this is Charles Benoit. Join me and the entire Smart Set tonight from 5 to 6 right here on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 42 minutes after the hour, we are Sound Bites. We're Steve and Dave are both staring at the board now. I don't.
No, I'm good.
You're good. Steve's the one who's apparently confused.
It's a Mac over here. He's drawn to it.
He's just drawn to it. He's just standing there. You got a Mac right in front of you. Be happy with
what
you got there.
I was trying to chat in last week when I was at the shop. It was I was trying to call in and it just got too busy to call. So I was trying to get the IM open, and the chats weren't working either.
Oh, my heavens.
So I had to restart the iChat client.
And, of course, iChat only chats with iChat, right?
No, it also chats with AIM. The AOL
That's
Instant
it?
Messenger.
AIM and...
Jabber, and I think it does Google Talk, too.
Oh, well, if I'd known that, you could have chatted with me. I have Gwibber. Gwibber does a bunch of that stuff.
You were offline. Because you're in my buddy list, but you're offline.
I was offline for everything except Twitter, actually. All right, we're back to the phones. Our next caller is Zach. Welcome, Zach. What's your where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Brighton.
Brighton, New York, and what can we do for you?
Well, here's a question I have. I have a lot of my accounts and financial transactions that I do over the Internet, so I have a lot of passwords and do have a lot of paperless statements I get. And I don't know if you guys do the same thing, but I'm just wondering if I'm not around, what have you found works best to allow family members like your spouse to get access to that information?
Well, what I use is a program called KeePass, KeePass.
Uh-huh.
And it's essentially a little application. You put all of your passwords into it, and it encrypts them on the drive so they're hard to break into.
Okay.
But when you double-click it to open it, it asks for a password.
Uh-huh.
And what I have done in my household is I've written down that password, sealed it in an envelope, stuck it in my little safe. And so if my family ever needs to get at that stuff, they can.
Okay, and what do you do to make sure they're aware of all the email notifications you get that bills are due or your mortgage payment is ready and stuff like
that?
Well,
I put all of that in KeePass under I forget whether I called it monthly stuff or something along that line. I just put it in there as well. But you could stick a piece of paper in your – I mean, it's the way you do it for pretty much anything else you do. You leave – You write it down somewhere, stick it in your safe, and make sure that as part of your will, they know that.
Okay.
There's another program that I've used sometimes called OnePass, and it works Mac, Windows, Linux, and iPod, and I think Android coming. So it works on all different platforms if you're in a multi-platform house.
Okay. Oh, I just had one other comment, which is I had the same problem, Nick, you had with Firefox. It just seemed to become... it's sluggish and loading really slowly, and I switched over to Chrome, and it's really fast, and it's got a bunch of extensions now. So
yes,
it's been a great move.
Yeah, the extensions I use most are AdThwart and Web of Truth, which is a pretty cool one. What it does is people rate websites and it actually has a list of blacklisted sites and whitelisted sites that come off a known company. So, when you go to look at a site, you'll know whether or not that's someplace you really shouldn't be going.
If
in Google, if you search for something, it actually puts a little green or yellow or red circle next to the link, so you know whether or not to click on it. And I use that and AdThwart and Firebug Lite and a couple of course, I do programming, so I use Firebug Lite. But it's pretty neat stuff. Yeah, I really, when Chrome first came out, I thought, well, that's nice, but it's pretty limited. But they, Google, they're going to own the world, and we all know it. And they're working really hard at making it the number one browser. And it's awfully fast.
Yeah. Oh, thanks for the advice. Have a
Thank
good day.
Thank you. You too, Zach.
Wasn't that the... sort of the selling point of Firefox when it came out, how fast it was?
Yes, yes, yes it is.
And but like all the other software, it becomes bloated over time as they add more and more features.
Well, and here's the weird part is I actually uninstalled Firefox. So I got rid of everything and I got it all back set up again without any extensions, and it was still slow. Now, slow compared to Google, I guess, Google Chrome maybe.
Yeah,
and they're saying the new Firefox is pretty fast. But
I've been finding each successive version gets slower and slower. Yeah. I'm still running 2.0 on one of my old machines.
Yeah, try Chrome. I'm very impressed.
Yeah, that was a big thing we just read about. Mozilla is considering dropping Tiger support for Firefox in System 10.4, which is two versions.
Right.
But there's a lot of Macs that can't run 10.5 and can't run 10.6, which requires an Intel Mac. And so there's sort of this big outcry from people still running older Power Macs, older iMacs with System 10.3 and 10.4.
Don't they have Safari?
It's an old version of Safari because you need the newer OS to run the newer Safari. So a lot of us, in fact, one of my old machines is still running 10.3, and I have to use Firefox 2 because Firefox 3 requires... System 10.4. Is that enough numbers?
Yeah.
So it's if you're running...
Not for a Mac, it isn't.
Yeah.
Where's the J in the left elbow?
Yeah. If you're running an older computer with an older OS, it's getting very, very difficult to find a new enough browser to work with the modern web.
Yep.
And that's one of the biggest complaints that we get from people with older computers, that, you know, the websites don't work. Yes, you need a newer browser. Well, you can't get one on your computer because it's too old.
Well, and I kind of understand that, I guess. I mean, at what point do you stop going backwards?
Right.
If you're that third-party independent company building a product,
yep.
At what point do you stop going backwards? Look, Apple's abandoned the G3 and G4 line.
Yeah.
Why am I going to support it?
Yep.
I can't afford it. I'm a smaller company.
And when you look at the dates, you know, System 10.6 goes back to machines 4 years old.
Right.
10.5 goes back, I think, 6 years old. 10.4 is like 7 or 8 years old. But we had a customer, you know, last week was running a System 9 machine that was 12 years old,
mm-hmm.
and bought a new computer after 12 years and
wow.
is mad that two of her programs won't work because they're OS 9 programs. OS 9 was discontinued 10 years ago and stopped working on new computers 7 years ago.
Yeah.
But you know, it's two of her programs. She doesn't want to have to buy new versions,
right?
Which
I've
we can understand.
Older than that. Dave's wearing old underwear older than that. So,
but it's very hard.
For sure,
yeah, it's very hard for people to realize that 5 years is very old in computer terms.
Yep. Well, people are used to buying a house that lasts them. Well, used to be that lasts them 30 or 40 or 50 years. Buying a car that used to last 10 or 12 years. I still got Ken.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, computers, you know, 3 years is average. It's 6 months before there's a new model, but 3 years or so is about average.
Here's the one thing I was trying to explain to somebody. All right, granted, they might have, say, a 5 or 6 year old machine, and it's still running good. And they'll, you know, say, well, you know, why do I got to go buy a new machine? You know, the one that I currently have is just running fine for me. You know, it's not broken. It's serving the internet. But
it ain't broke. Why do I have to fix it?
If you want to run a modern program, look at a modern website.
This is what I try to tell them. All right, you bought this machine 5 years ago, and say you're running, well, right now it's tax time. So you're running this tax software. And now over the past 5 years, you've gotten each year they keep updating the tax software. They keep adding more to it so that you can do more with it. And it's putting more strain on the system. It's not that the system is bad. It's just that your software has progressed over those 5 years, getting more and more functions built into it, so it demands more resources. It's not that it's a bad machine. It's just that the programs have changed. And unfortunately, sometimes, yeah, you might have a very good machine that's still good for word processing and all that type of stuff and surfing the web, but it's not going to run your day-to-day business applications because it hasn't kept up.
And actually, tax programs are one of the biggest issues here because you have to buy a new tax program every year.
Yep.
And so TurboTax has been in trouble in the past couple of years for raising the bar too high. Especially in the Mac world, you know, requiring a newer and newer computer, newer and newer OS in order to run the newest tax program. And there was even Intuit was even considering, and it was on a couple of blogs, that they were going to stop making disk versions of Quicken and TurboTax because you can just use the web. Well, I don't want to type all my financial information on somebody's website that who knows what's going to happen to it.
Right.
So, you know, and TurboTax website from Intuit has made it kind of tricky to find the CD. When you go to their website, the top half of the website is all fill out your taxes online. In fact, they even have a free version for the 1040 EZ. But it's a one-time payment for one tax return. So if you do several returns, you know, for your wife, for, you know, for your children, you have to pay for each return. You have to scroll way down to the bottom to find the CD that you can buy and install to run multiple tax returns. And then you got to worry about the system requirements on these programs. And if you have a computer that's more than a couple years old, you may not be able to buy a new program of any type. So that's
right.
It becomes very hard for people who keep their computers 5 or 6 years or more that to be able to buy new programs.
Right, right. It is tough, but I don't know what to say. You know, I mean,
yeah.
What's left to say? It's a 10-year-old machine. It's not supported by anybody. Sorry. All right, our next caller is Ken. Where are you calling from, Ken?
Where life is worth living.
Webster, New York.
You got it. I basically called, thought that I might be able to shed a little light on that lady that called about the Red X on the Revo program.
Oh, man, I love it when our listeners call in to help other listeners.
Well, maybe I'll learn something out of this, too, but here's my explanation or what I've seen. I've been using Revolt for some time now. Actually, through your recommendation, Nick, from reading the DNC. But
right.
When I downloaded it from CNET, in fact, I'm looking in downloads right now. You know, I'm a long time ago, I set up a folder, and that's where all the downloads go.
Yep.
And I'm looking at it right this minute, and the program, before you download it, it's called Revo Setup. And the icon in the downloads shows the icon with a little X on it. So even the download shows the X. And when you look on my desktop here, the shortcut has got the X also.
So
and I think that's what the lady was concerned about. Why should there be an X identifying the program?
Oh, that's possible.
I remember
that
you
is
mentioned
a little confusing.
Nick, I'm not,
yeah.
You said, I'm not sure quite where you are, miss.
So they're using an X in their program logo?
Yes. Well, all I can tell you what I've got. My shortcut on the desktop, and it's definitely a shortcut, it's the icon with a bold X on it, and it's called Revo Uninstaller.
Right.
But when you double-click that, it opens the program. And, in fact, I use it every day. At the very top, I've got the program open right now, and it says Revo Uninstaller. But that's where I use the Windows tools, the browser tools. So that's how it's identified.
Interesting. I suppose I could sort of see it because you're uninstalling other programs, so the big red X to cancel or stop using another program.
Yes, and I have the program
confusing.
Right open now, and at the very top, you'll see the same logo. It's called Uninstaller, and if you put the arrow there, it says Switch to Uninstaller Mode. And then next to that is tools and mm-hmm. options and hunter mode and view.
So, the different features the program
there
has.
There you go. I bet that's exactly what it was. Now, see, that's because I'm on a Linux box and I didn't bother to actually download the program because I couldn't install it anymore.
Yeah, I'm looking at the screenshots.
In fact, the first version I got was 1.83, and then about a month ago there's 1.85, and that's the way it's been right from the get-go.
Yeah, 1.85 is the current
see,
right now.
Well done. Good catch.
Yeah, nobody here is using Windows.
Good catch, Ken.
Well, just tried to make a little contribution, that's
yep.
all.
Thank you.
And
thank
it's
you.
A great job. Thank you so much.
Okay, guys. Bye-bye.
Have fun. And that should answer Cindy's question, because, in fact, the icon itself has a thing on it. And then she said she clicked on it and said uninstall, and that would be Revo Uninstaller.
Right. Now, what is Revo's Uninstaller called? Revo Uninstaller, Uninstaller? Why would you ever want to uninstall the uninstaller, you know?
That's exactly right. That's
Oh, there it is.
Question.
I did a Google image search for that picture. And
there's a red X right in it.
The program icon is a red X.
Yeah, that is kind of silly, isn't it? So that's what you're seeing, Cindy. You've actually got the download sitting somewhere, probably on your desktop, and it has a red X actually in the icon. You're right. I never thought about that. That would be confusing. That would be confusing to me. I don't know about you, but I'm easily confused.
You know, one thing I got saying about confusing and everything, I got to thank our listeners out there. They have finally gotten the hint.
Yeah.
As you know, I'm sitting here trying to answer the phones, and I have to whisper.
You have to whisper, absolutely.
So I'm not talking over you guys. And the folks have been really good about not whispering at the other end.
Good. Well done, folks. Don't whisper back.
They're great at, you know, when I pick up the phone and I go, Soundbites, can I take your name, please? Or I ask them to hold. They're actually talking up so I can actually hear them and not putting my ear just about through the phone trying to say, speak up!
That always puts me in mind of the Three Stooges routine in Men in White where they're talking to a nurse and she's whispering, so they're all whispering back. Finally, one of them says, why are we whispering? She says, I don't know about you, but I have laryngitis. Okay, that just, that took Dave... Dave's dying over there. I don't know if we're going to need to call an ambulance in a minute or not. I don't know what that's about.
No, it just hit me. I've got this visual in my mind.
Yep.
Because I'm at the
old
other
jokes end. Are the best. I'll tell you what. My daughter and I sat down one day and watched a whole bunch of Three Stooges, and it was great, you know, to put a whole new gen. But they had their black and white. Just give it a minute. You know, just
smack her upside the head, and then she'll see color.
Okay, don't take parenting tips from Steve. Listen, computer tips all day long. Don't take your parenting tips from Steve. That was Steve Ray. His opinions are not those of Soundbites, us, this station, Rob Linton, or any other right-thinking human being.
My wife has a story that when she was a kid, their family didn't get a color television because her dad thought it was a fad that would never catch on. So they stuck in black and white.
I've got a whole bunch of quotes from, like, Lord Kelvin, who didn't think flying would catch on, from the guy who was the head of the radio consortium who in the United States who thought television wouldn't catch on, you know, like that. All right, we're going to take a quick break, but we will be back in just a couple of minutes with... Let me see now. How about Dave Enright, Steve, Parent of the Year Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and each and every one of you? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Or, of course, toll-free, 1-800-790-0415. And we will be back on the other side of all the cool stuff going on with a whole lot more of the longest-running computer show in the known universe. We are Soundbites right here on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Don't go away, because we will be right back.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, the answer to your computer questions on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
WGMC Greece Rochester, a public service of the Greece Central School District, Jazz 90.1.
Streaming online at jazz901.org.
There we go. Taxes done and on their way.
I hope you checked your math.
Yep.
Remember your W-2s?
I'm not making that mistake again. I even included my Social Security number this time.
Every year, millions of people make common errors on their taxes that cost them time and money. Using eFile prevents many of these problems. Visit IRS.gov for more tips to help you do your taxes right.
Now, you did sign your return, right?
Oh!
Every day, we make sure we get things done to keep ourselves on track, to live the way we want to live. And every day, we make choices, large and small, that reflect who we are, from the clothes we buy to the car we drive to where we choose to live. If you enjoy Jazz 90.1, make the choice to become a member. And once a year, renew that membership. See how it feels. It just might be one more small but important choice you make to live the way you want to with Jazz 90.1.
Excuse me, do you know how to get to Maine and Maple?
How's that cooked?
How do you change the ringtone?
How much does this cost?
Does this bus stop at Elm Street?
We ask questions everywhere in life, except...
Any questions?
No.
At the doctor's office, ask questions.
What is this test for?
Are there any side effects?
Questions lead to better health care. Go to aharq.gov for a list of 10 questions everyone should know. Questions are the answer. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
In celebration of Black History Month 2010, Jazz 90.1 proudly salutes African-American jazz musicians. Throughout the month of February, we will present biographical vignettes of great jazz and blues artists like Sarah Vaughan, Ron Carter, Houston Person, Roy Eldridge, and Mary Lou Williams. Be listening each weekday at 7:40 a.m., 12:40, 4:40, and 8:40 p.m. when Jazz 90.1 will honor a different African-American jazz musician. For a complete listing of all featured artists this month, visit jazz901.org.
Welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Get online now. Call 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415. Or submit your question by email at soundbites.org. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And at 3 minutes after the hour, we are into the second hour of Soundbites. Before we get back to the phone, I have to tell you, Microsoft is planning to release 13 security bulletins February 9th as part of Microsoft's monthly visitor for February. 5 of the 13 bulletins are rated critical, 7 are rated important, and 1 is rated moderate. All but 2 of the bulletins address security issues in Windows, with the other 2 dealing with issues in Microsoft Office. All told, the updates address 26 vulnerabilities. Exact details of most of the bugs were not made public. However, Microsoft said it plans to patch an escalation of privilege issue in the Windows kernel that it warned users about in January. Among the vulnerabilities not being
easy
addressed,
for you, say.
Apparently not, no, being addressed are an Internet Explorer bug the company issued an advisory about February 3rd, and a vulnerability in the server message block protocol Microsoft is still working to address. Actually, Microsoft has now said they're going to do an out of band for that, so watch out for that and install it. 4 of the bulletins were given the highest deployment priority rating of 1. 13 bulletins made this the busiest February we've seen for Microsoft, with only 4 last year and an average of 11 or 12 in the 3 years prior. None of the operating systems escaped this month's update. Even the latest versions of Windows have been hit hard this month, with 6 updates for Vista, 8 for Server 2008, and 5 for Server 2008 Release 2 and Windows 7. I wouldn't be surprised if Microsoft is playing catch-up on some lingering vulnerabilities from last year. And for our Apple friends, Apple has issued critical security updates for both the iPhones and the iPods. The patches impact versions of iPhone OS 1.0 through 3.1.2 and iPhone OS for iPod Touch 1.1 through 3.12. Exploits may execute arbitrary code. How careful are you about your security updates? Give us a call. 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Or, of course, toll-free 1-800-790-0415, just like Sam didn't do. Sam didn't do that at all.
He must
Sam hung up.
Yep.
Sorry, hold Sam. You know what? Good things come to those who wait. And if you give us a call and you wait, you get on the air. Unless you call too late. Because if you call too late.
Well, then you have to wait a really long time.
But you still have to wait. You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. We're going to try Sam again. Sam, are you there?
Nope,
Dave, Sam's not there
Dave's
yet.
Dave's still pushing buttons.
Dave's pushing buttons, and he's going to hopefully get Sam there. Are you there, Sam?
Dave's yes, I am.
Oh, excellent. Where are you calling from?
West Henrietta, New York.
Okay.
Where it's snowing.
Oh, that's where it's snowing. Yeah. What can we do for you, Sam?
I want to get, right now I have Norton 360.
Sure.
And I want to get, what is the best protection I need? Is Norton 360 going to protect all my security needs on my computer?
Maybe.
Yeah.
Depends on what your security needs are first.
Yeah.
And that has a tendency to bog.
I get a bombardment of things. Like right now I'm looking at these Paralogic driver and PC Logic. They keep popping in saying, you need this protection.
Yeah, well, you're going to hear
those are
thing.
Fake pop-ups, and nothing will protect you from those except don't go on the Internet.
Or don't use Internet Explorer.
They scan them, and then they scan me, and they say, "This is you got 940.
Yeah, that's a fake. Problem. Here's the deal. Here's the deal, Sam. Mm. When those things pop up while you're browsing the web, that's fake. Anybody can write a window like that that says it's scanning your machine. In fact, watch while it's scanning your machine. Your drive light doesn't go on.
Okay.
Yeah, it's just a fake.
It's a fake flash animation.
It's flash animation.
Okay.
Just close the window and move on.
Actually, sometimes you can't close the window because then they spawn more windows.
Well, right.
Sometimes you actually have to quit your browser.
Right. And if you're using Internet Explorer.
Yes.
Yeah. That's part of the problem. If you turn off pop-ups, that'll help a little bit. But you might want to look at Firefox or Chrome in order to increase your browsing experience, frankly.
I don't
see pop-ups anymore unless I want to. In fact, I get a little thing at the bottom of the screen that says, 6 pop-ups blocked or 2 pop-ups or whatever the number is. And I feel good, and I can actually click on that and say, this website I want to see pop-ups from. Like, for example, my financial stuff at work. uses pop-ups. So when the first time that popped up, I went, yes, I need to see these. Thank you very much. Yes. But generally speaking, I don't see them ever.
And so. I noticed, did you notice, though, Sam, when you put it on, did your machine slow down with Norton 360? Does it perceivably?
No.
Still running?
Yeah, they've tried to address that with the latest 2010 version. One of the problems that Norton has always had is it really, really slowed down your system because it was trying to do so much. And so they got a bad reputation for quite a few years, and their sales probably dropped off dramatically, too.
Significantly, yeah.
Yeah. So the latest versions they've tried to make leaner and more efficient, and also computers have gotten faster, too, because it tries to do so much, and you need so much. You need the antivirus, the anti-malware, the pop-up spyware. Blocker, the spyware detector. There's so many things you need that that a product like Norton 360 can do it, or you can use individual products. We recommend a bunch of different products on the Security Tango website,
all of which are free. Yeah, because I hate putting my eggs all in one basket.
On your Security Tango, you got information on different other security things to do?
Right.
Yep. If you go to securitytango.com, and check what's there, you can download an antivirus program. You can download a... firewall, you can download all kinds of stuff. There are both free and paid versions. If you want the free versions, you have to look very, very carefully to make sure that, you know, because they don't make it easy to find the free versions. And the deal I have with them is I take you to the website, not right to the free download page, and that's, you know, that's the way they prefer it. So look for the free one. I always encourage people, if you can afford it, to please pay for this stuff, because that encourages them to write more.
Sure.
Which is a good thing, but, you know, certainly try the free version first.
Okay.
All right.
What is the difference between Norton 360 and Norton Online? I got that one popping up, too.
Well, don't trust it first, because it may not really be Norton Online. All right?
Okay.
That's first. But if it is, in fact, really Norton Online, then what it's doing is checking your machine from over the Internet. Panda Online does that the same way, and it means there's not as much loaded on your machine, but when you actually want to run a check, it does it right from the internet.
Oh, okay.
So then it can't do any real time protection. It's just an after the fact scanner.
Okay.
Yep.
Okie doke.
Okay.
All right. Thanks.
Matter of fact, there's a question that's in the mailbag. Somebody wrote there, why did we drop Adaware and Super Anti-Spyware? You will see the programs change from time to time in our recommendations just because we find other programs that do it more efficiently. I mean, it's not to say that you still can't run those programs. It's just adding two more. Right now, we've changed our mode to where we feel that Malwarebytes and Super Anti-Spyware do better jobs than Adaware and SpyBot.
Although he does have a point. SpyBot has an immunize feature.
Yep. I mean, there. Yeah,
and
there is.
AVG has an anti-rootkit step.
That's why I'm saying you can still run those others.
Yeah.
It's just that, matter of fact, they're still included on the Soundbite CD. When I put them there, I still include them in there. So, you know, it's your choice. It depends on how much time and care you want to take, you know, running those programs, because, again, because they're free, they don't run automatically. You've got to run them.
Right. Right. That's absolutely true. And that's an interesting point as well. You can either get automated support or run it on your own support. We much prefer that you use automated support, since that's certainly safer, but it may also be that's more expensive, so you have to be careful of that. All right, our next caller is Fritz. Where are you calling from, Fritz?
Lovely Canandaigua, Nick.
The beautiful Canandaigua, New York.
Yes.
At least in the summer.
This is extra confirmation. The red X on Revo is part of the icon, or part of their logo, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, we finally found a picture of the box, and so that big red X is part of the logo.
Yep, thanks, Fritz. That's absolutely right. Thank you very much.
And I wish the weather would get warmer, because I got my Soundbites polo shirt, and I haven't had a day I could wear it yet since Christmas. So
you got it for Christmas!
Well,
how cool is that?
That's about the time it came, the day before Christmas.
How nice. Well, Merry Christmas to you, doggone it. And you'll absolutely have to wear it this summer. We're going to have a summer party.
And I want to thank Steve. I had a question yesterday. I called over to the to Mac Ave, and I wanted to use an old Mac Mini, a five-year-old Mac Mini, strictly for my wife's use and put Neo Office on it. And it was running Panther or 10.3.
Yeah.
And Steve found a link for me so I could get Neo Office for it. And it kind of goes back to what you were saying earlier, you know.
Yep.
Machines get old and software isn't there anymore. But
yeah, the current Neo Office 3 requires Tiger. And Open Office requires an Intel Mac. So you know, the latest versions of even sometimes the free software need newer computers or newer operating systems.
Right.
And it's nice of Neo Office to leave their old version still available.
Isn't it, though?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I appreciate it because, you know, now that makes that machine useful because that little Mini's been bulletproof for 5 years. You couldn't kill it, and I want to keep using it.
Yep.
Well, so thank you very much.
You're quite welcome, sir.
All right. Thanks.
On that vein for the PC side, I'd like to mention that there's a great website I found if you're trying to find older versions. It's called oldapps.com.
Nice.
Yeah,
and
we've
you go
about
there
it.
And you, because I had to have one client, believe it or not, still had to have Adobe 5.0 for some of his old stuff that he had. I'm not going there. But anyways,
yeah, right.
I was able, don't question it. I just, that's what the customer wants. I'm fine. Put it on there and found it there. And they've got all the older apps that if you know you need an older version of the program, depending on what you're running, it's there.
Oldapps.com.
Mm-hmm.
Is that already on our list?
Yep.
Well, there's we've got oldsoftware.com and oldversions.com.
But Steve's going to add.
Is old apps one of those two? Yeah, old apps is another one.
Okay, there you go.
Yep. The problem with some of that is commercial software. It's illegal to download and use without paying for it because you know someone else owns the copyright.
Right.
But what about older versions? You know, like Adobe was saying, or Dave was saying, if I need Adobe, you know, Acrobat version 5,
mm-hmm.
and they only sell version 10 now, what do I do? And the choice is don't use Acrobat.
Right.
Which for a lot of people may not be a choice.
Right. But there are some alternatives to Acrobat.
Right.
And I can't remember the name of it right now, but there's an excellent one out there, and I just can't think of the name of it. I'm sure somebody in the IRC chat will.
Well, it's kind of tricky because Adobe has muddied the waters by making Acrobat several different things. There's the Acrobat, There's the Acrobat Reader, and to let you view PDF files. And on Windows, there's an alternative program called Foxit Reader.
Foxit Reader, that's the one.
And on the Mac, Apple's Preview will read PDFs as well.
Right.
To create PDFs, Acrobat Pro is was Adobe's product. On the Mac, you can make PDFs directly in the OS. Under Windows and the Mac, you can use something like GhostScript to create PDF files. And OpenOffice does PDF itself, doesn't it? So they must have licensed it from Adobe because that is Adobe's proprietary format.
Right.
Yeah, they make the reader free to view PDFs, but to make PDFs, you have to pay them money.
Duh.
Somebody somewhere pays them money.
Well, you have to pay the money. I can just say from OpenOffice.org.
Right. So somehow OpenOffice has licensed it from Adobe, and they must be paying them somehow, but they're still giving it to you for free.
Right, right.
Yeah.
However that works, good for us. That's all I know. All right, our next caller is Bill. Where are you calling from, Bill?
Marion.
Marion, New York, and what can we do for you?
Well, I've got two questions for you. I'll ask you the first one first. My father has a BioStar MCP6B M2 positive motherboard that he currently runs Vista 32 on. He has a 500 gig hard drive, but when he looks at it through my computer or wherever he goes there, it only shows 120 gig.
Yep.
I've called BioStar. They blame it on the hard drive. The hard drive blames it on the motherboard.
It's the hard drive controller on the motherboard.
It's got to be flashed. See, you got to see if the BIOS can be flashed so that it will see anything bigger than a 160 gig hard drive.
Yeah, 127 gigs is the limit in ATA 5, earlier? So the older, back to old.
Well,
older
and also,
stuff again.
If whoever set it up for him used FAT 16 as the format
that
on the
could
drive,
be too, yeah.
Then it's only ever going to see 127.
Yeah,
gig.
Which begs, you know, I mean, it's.
So you have to see what specifications.
Any of the newer motherboards, I mean, you know.
Yeah, do you know how old the motherboard is?
We bought it in 2008.
November 2008.
So that
from,
should be okay.
Online,
it needs to have an ATA 6 controller on it to support volumes
Wait
greater
a minute,
than.
Was this a refurb machine or?
No, it's one of those bundles that you can buy, a bare bones kit.
So it's probably has ATA 6 in it. So it may be the drive was formatted wrong. There is a jumper on some drives to mm-hmm. limit the number of cylinders.
Yeah.
It can it can do. It's usually a 32 gig limit, but it could be 127 gig limit too. So there may be a jumper on the drive. What brand drive is it?
It's a Hitachi.
Yeah, you may have to go to their website and check out the jumper settings.
Yeah,
and it is a SATA, so I don't know.
So there should be no.
Who installed Vista on this?
My father did, and he let Vista format it. So.
It should be right, so it's probably something to do with the motherboard. It may need to be flashed.
Yeah.
It may be something else, but unfortunately, you're going to have to take it in and let somebody take a look at it, because that kind of thing, you can't really diagnose over the air.
Yeah, there could be a setting in BIOS, you know, compatibility mode or something.
Could be 50 things.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So,
yeah, I've looked through that, and I can't find anything that would help us there, so maybe it would have to go in.
Yeah, I'm sorry. All you can really do is take it to a reputable dealer.
All right. Now, can I ask the second question? I'll try to make it quick.
Sure. Go ahead.
I'm looking at buying another bare bones, and I'd like to get your opinion on it. It's an MSI motherboard. It's the 785 GTM E45. Comes with an Athlon 2 quad-core processor, X4 620. Comes with 4 gigs of Corsair 6400, 800 megahertz. Comes with a Radeon 4671 gig video card, a 1 terabyte Hitachi hard drive, the case, and a 600 watt power supply for about $519. What do you think of the price and of the quality of the board? They're going to pretty much basically use the internet and little kids' games, stuff like that.
Bigger question, how's the warranty on it?
It's probably pretty much nil. You know, if you get it home and you put it together and it doesn't work, you call them up, say, well, you know, this doesn't work. Okay, send it back. We'll send you another one. But that's the I'm looking here. The power supply has a lifetime warranty. The memory has a lifetime warranty. Motherboard has 12 months.
Okay.
The chip has 36 months.
Yeah, that's one of the annoying things about piecemealing a computer is that every
mm-hmm.
component has a different warranty from a different company, and if
yep.
something breaks, they can all blame each other and not...
Yeah, because they can sit there and say, well, you didn't get the system from us.
Right. So outside of the warranty situation, what do you think about the computer in general and the price? If you can make such a declaration.
What you're throwing out there is, you know, they're good parts.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, have they all been tested thoroughly with each other?
That's one of my favorite stories of yours about the guy that went to PC Magazine and bought Editor's Choice of every component, and nothing worked together.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. You know, once you get it, throw it all together, as long as you're up to the challenge.
I would think that if they're bundling this all as a one package, I would think that, I mean, can I mention the site, or would you rather have me not?
I'd rather you didn't.
Okay, I kind of figured.
Well, you expect that they test it all together, but you never know.
Yeah,
this is true. I mean, I bought other bundles through them, and I've honestly never had a problem.
Yeah.
Well, then, okay. Well, give it a shot, and I'll tell you what. Let us know how you make out on it. All right?
All right, I will do.
Thanks, guys. Yep.
Thanks.
Yeah, you almost... custom-building computers these days is almost just a hobby project because the prices aren't really that much lower than buying a retail box.
Well, you know, like another story that I once told. You know, somebody went and bought all these other parts and then brought it into the shop, and, you know, I couldn't get it to work with it. And, matter of fact, two of the parts were, you know, defective, and they said, well, go ahead and replace it. I can't. Well, it's under warranty. Well, then you get. Well, why can't you? Don't all the computer guys just work through the same warranty?
No. Right.
You get to send it back, not me.
Well, and then there's the problem of you buy Windows for that machine, and you're not going to have necessarily all the right drivers. You know, depending on what the system is, where do you get the drivers for it? And by the time you put it together, I guess, you know, it depends on whether or not your time is worth a lot to you. That's why people let somebody else do it. All right, we're going to take a break. Back in just a couple of minutes, Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 23 minutes after the hour. We are Soundbites. This is Jazz 90.1.
Got a computer question? Call the boys now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Or toll free 800-790-0415. Online at soundbites.org. Soundbites continues next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Jazz 90.1 accepts vehicles. That's right. You can donate your unwanted vehicle to Jazz 90.1. Have it picked up and receive a tax deduction while we get cash to keep the jazz going strong on Jazz 90.1. If you would like to support Jazz 90.1 by donating your old vehicle, call 966-5299. That's 966-5299. Donating your old vehicle, another way to support Jazz 90.1. Soundbites, celebrating 20 years.
New artist, Miami, talks about radio.
Yeah, I like it because it puts on something. You discover new people that way. It's nice to just hear and the surprise of what's going to come next. You know, sometimes you like to control your own, and sometimes it's nice to just listen and, like, get surprised, you know, by what comes on.
The wrong way is the right direction.
The best place to discover new artists like Miami is always on the radio. Go to RadioHeardHere.com.
Here's another I Love New York travel tip.
Art lovers, step out of the cold and into one of the fascinating exhibitions taking place now in New York State. In Glens Falls, see a testament to the enduring legacy of Impressionist painting in American art at the High Museum exhibition, American Impressionist Landscapes from the Thomas Clark Collection. In Manhattan, the Metropolitan Museum of Art's first ever exhibition, dedicated to Agnolo Bronzino, features nearly all of the known drawings by or attributed to this leading Italian Mannerist artist. And at the Corning Museum of Glass, Tiffany Treasures showcases nearly 60 hand-wrought pieces designed by artist Louis Comfort Tiffany.
For more information or to learn about other New York State travel opportunities, visit the I Love New York website at iloveny.com.
World-class art. Another reason I love New York.
Jazz 90.1 is supported in part by our members and the Incredibly Edible Cookie Company. The Incredibly Edible Cookie Company, located in Rochester, New York, is an artisan bakery that uses fresh ingredients in all their products. They feature chocolate coconut blizzards, ooey gooey quads, three varieties of hot chocolate, decadent chocolate enrobed brownies, and a chocolate bark that may be customized to your taste. Tea time confections, brownies, handmade chocolates, and favors are available for any special event. For more information, you may visit www.iecc-cookie.com.
Hey, this is Rip Savage. Join me tonight for Fusion, 10 p.m., right here on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And at 26 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. We have Phil on the line. Where are you calling from, Phil?
I'm calling from my car.
Okay.
Pulled over, correct?
But I'm pulled over, yeah.
Yeah, all that's right. What we want to hear. All right, what's your question?
So my question is about doing a backup for a Mac. I have an external hard drive, but I was wanting to do backups to DVD for directories that are larger than the capacity of a DVD. So I'm looking for just a simple way to do a backup that spans multiple disks.
I'm not sure of a simple way. I know that Roxio's Toast can do it, but that's $100, I think. Let me just do a Google search here. Mac backup, span disks. That's pretty much why we've given up on DVDs and just gone to hard drives, because you don't have to worry about spanning.
Right.
And they're so inexpensive now. I mean, you can get a terabyte for about $100.
That is inexpensive.
Yeah. Let's see. It's hard to weed out the good programs from the bad programs here. Let me just go to a Mac. A good Mac download site is Version Tracker. Download.com also has Mac stuff, but Version Tracker was first for the Mac. You can search for pretty much anything that will have a Mac program from there. I don't see offhand one that will do spanning.
Okay.
But there probably is one somewhere.
Version trackers?
Yeah, version trackers. Oh, CNET bought them. Interesting. So they own version tracker and the old download.com. So
sure.
CNET buys everybody. They're the semantic of the internet.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
So yeah, there's gotta be some way to do it, with a DVD. Cause I know with Toast, when the one disc fills, it asks you to, spit the next one, in. I guess spits it out and then you push it in.
Yeah. Something along that line. Yeah.
Spit it in would be tricky, but, DVD Spanner. Here we go. A free program called DVD Spanner from 2007. I don't know if, I trust something that old, but you could always download it and try.
Okay. Very good.
Yep, alrighty.
Thanks for your help.
Sure.
All right, there you go. That's one of the real problems. There are often you will find that something that's that useful but that esoteric is going to cost you money to know you're getting a usable product. I agree with you. Most people nowadays are backing up into the cloud or into, you know, whatever. I know there are extensions for Linux, and I'm sure there are extensions for the Mac where it essentially shows your Google Mail space as
a disk space, which is 7 gigs or
7
so.
Gigs right now.
Apple's Mobile Me service gives you 20 gigs standard. What is it? Dropbox gives you 2 gigs for free. Carbonite is $5 a month for unlimited, which is probably the best deal I found. Dropbox does have paid versions. For 100 gigs is $20 a month. So if you have really huge storage needs, there are products for that.
And at $5 a month, you get a $100 program. There's 20 months.
Right.
It's closing in on 2 years.
Right. And the cost of the DVDs. Now, the one advantage DVDs have over hard drives is they're a little more permanent. Especially if you're looking to back up your photo collection, you want to use good name branded DVDs or even use the Kodak preservation discs that are rated for 100 years.
KPM Media locally.
Right.
Has those,
licensed through KPM Media. And the especially with photos, because we don't have our negatives anymore. You know, the photos are just in your computer, and you definitely need to have a backup of that. And what's interesting is a lot of DVD players now, I think probably most of them these days, will play a DVD full of JPEGs. So if you back up your photos to a DVD, you can now put them on your television, and it plays through as a slideshow.
Right. And I like that. I love to be able to do that. A lot of people do it. A lot of people enjoy that sort of thing.
Time Warner has an interesting service. I forget what they call it, but you can upload your pictures to your Roadrunner web space as a Roadrunner subscriber and see them on television. Some of the channel, was it 900 or something
somewhere,
like that?
Somewhere up in there, yeah.
But anyone can see anybody's pictures that show up on these channels.
Right.
I guess that's our age again. We don't, you know, Facebook and Twitter and public blogging, you know, we don't do things like that at our age.
People, well, yes, and that's very true. A lot of people nowadays live their lives essentially wide open online. You know, I've seen blogs where they talk about anything they want to talk about, and God bless them if that's, you know, if that's what you do, that's what you do. But it's a little hard to think to yourself, okay, I get it. You know, a lot of pictures are innocuous or whatever, but they're just, you know, pictures I don't necessarily want other people seeing, I suppose. But, of course, I'm always saying that's true. I keep telling the kids in my classes that that I was actually very lucky. I did a number of things that were probably not intelligent in my day.
As we all do when we're kids.
And at least one of them was a federal offense. But
still my heart.
But I believe the statute of limitations has run out on that one. But nobody had a camera. Well, Mark Dupre had a camera, but we wrestled him to the ground off enough and took it away from him. Nobody had a camera. Nobody had a
website.
He's
got guns.
And he's got guns. So we weren't that bright in a lot of ways. But, you know, there was no websites to put him on. There was no, hey, look at the stupid thing that happened, you know. You go to a party and you're drinking and people are taking pictures of you being stupid and next thing you know they're on the internet and nobody's going to hire you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's an interesting problem that
now,
everybody has.
Now, in another generation when those people are now doing the hiring.
Yeah, right. So, right. Are they going to be looking back and saying, not as bad as the pictures I have up there?
Or is it going to be a generation of privacy next? You know, all these kids that grow up in these open, you know, internet, you know,
doing
households.
Doing the sexting and...
Yeah, are the next generation of kids going to be, you know, extra private? So I sort of see the same thing with tattoos. My stepdaughter's got all tattoos all over her, and all these.
And what's wrong with that?
But in the next generation, is it going to be rebelling? See, kids rebel against their parents. So when your parents are tattooed and pierced, you know the kid has got to rebel against that, and have not. In fact, talking about Pawn Stars earlier, there was an episode of Pawn Stars where they got a tattoo machine. And the kid, Corey, traded that for a new tattoo, but it was the store's money he bought the machine with. So his dad was mad. And so they talked to, and so granddad is yelling at him for all the stupid tattoos they have. And well, granddad's got a tattoo from the war.
Right.
He was in Japan and a little inebriated and spelled his wife's name wrong. And that's his only tattoo. Because his wife wouldn't let him get a tattoo, and he thought it'd be okay if he got her name.
Right. And a lot of people have tattoos, and on many of them they look great, you know. But
but you know, in 50, 60 years, you know, Grandma Tiffany and her tattoos and her piercings.
Yeah. Why do you have a lake tattooed on your chest? It used to be a rose. Exactly. That's a whole other story, I guess. But that's... don't get anything tattooed that you're not entirely certain is going to be permanent. You know, the old joke about a woman who had four different guys' names tattooed on
crossed
her,
off and crossed the last one down.
Very,
yeah.
Very good friend of mine that's done my ink has a saying, think before you ink.
Yep. Yeah, exactly.
Because, like I say, it's more painful. You thought it was
it
painful.
It costs a lot more, and it's more painful taking them off.
Taking them off than it is to put them on there, folks.
Yep. All right, our next caller is Steve. Where are you calling from, Steve?
From Rush Police.
From Rush, from the Rush Police Department.
from Rush, I'm sorry.
Okay.
Yeah. I want to go directly from camera to TV without a computer. Is there a way?
It depends on what outputs the camera has and what inputs the TV has. But most cameras will have an analog video out, usually called...
It's one or two little connectors.
You know, sometimes
usually,
three.
Sometimes three that they give you yellow, a cable for it.
Yeah, yellow for video, red and white for audio. And that cable often comes with the video camera. And on your television, or sometimes your VCR, if you have an older television, you'd plug it into the VCR first, and then from the VCR to the television with that.
Or DVD.
Or DVD player, yeah, with that red, white, and yellow connector.
Okay, so I can go directly from the camera to the television.
Well, maybe.
Right, if your camera has the right outputs on it and your TV has the right inputs on it.
Okay, I think my TV is okay. I'm not sure of the camera.
Yeah,
though.
Most of the cameras will have at least analog out. Some of the digital video cameras will have digital outs, either a FireWire DV port or some sort of an analog composite port on it as well.
The best thing to do, Steve, is to check the manual that came with the camera. And to look and see if you've already got cables that came with the camera.
Right. A lot of what we're seeing now, especially with the new TVs, is that the TVs are having memory card readers actually in the television itself. And you pull the memory card out of your camera and stick that on the television, and you can watch it that way. In fact, we sell at our shop. We sell, it looks like a standard memory card reader, but it has a video jack on it. So you put this on your television, and then you can take your memory cards from your camera and right. see them on your television.
I have a friend who's got a memory camera, rather, that takes directly to mini DVDs.
Yep.
Now, does the camera go directly to the memory card, or does the camera go into the memory of the camera first?
It depends on
the camera.
Some of them have memory in the camera. Some of them have a card that it stores onto. Some of the older cameras actually use magnetic tape. To record the images.
Yeah, no, I have a new camera and I have a memory card in the new camera, but well, I'm not sure whether it goes directly to the memory card.
That's usually something you can set up yourself in the setup section.
Oh, okay.
You can tell it where to save the video, whether they it saves it to the camera or to the SD card.
Okay, could I get a regular memory slot for the TV?
Yes. Yeah, we sell them at our store, Mac Ave and Victor, and they're probably at most of the other electronic stores as well. It's a memory card reader for your television.
Okay. Oh, thank you very much.
There sure. you go. Bye. Thanks, Steve.
So he's in Rush, so he's not too far from our store in Victor.
That's exactly right.
Yep.
And what's interesting is a lot of people are starting to really play around with that stuff.
Yeah.
You know,
well, even what I was mentioning earlier with Time Warner being able to put the pictures from your computer on your television.
Right, right. And by uploading it directly.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. We're seeing a lot more people do that. And, of course, the Mac people have always had iPhoto and iMovie and I don't know what else. And yep. Linux people have always had F-Spot and stuff like that. And Windows people have got programs they can either download or buy. So, yeah, there's a whole lot of people doing that sort of thing now. Yeah, I absolutely do agree. And that's, you know, a lot of people have bought the computer specifically because it is that sort of audio-video device. They
yep.
specifically want it to edit or manipulate pictures.
And we're seeing a lot of convergence between computer and television, where televisions are getting little computers in them to show video, to connect to the internet now, so you can watch internet video right on your television.
Yep.
And computers are getting, TV tuners are almost out of date these days because you're watching all your video over the internet a lot of times anyway.
Right, and I have a friend who's taking all his 35-millimeter slides and turning them into pictures on the computer. We're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 39 minutes after the hour. You're listening to Soundbites on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Computer talk you can understand. More Soundbites is next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Ladies and gentlemen, y'all ready for the blues?
If you're ready for some blues, look no further than Sunday nights. I'm Greg Lefebvre, your host for Doc's Juke Joint. Every Sunday from 7 till 10, part of our 5 hours of blues on Sunday nights. On the Juke Joint, you'll hear new blues, classic blues, and our extensive music calendar. Dig the blues on Sunday nights on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Jazz 90.1 appreciates your support through membership. But did you know you can support Jazz 90.1 in other ways as well? For example, by donating your old vehicle. When you donate your old vehicle to Jazz 90.1, we receive cash and you get the tax deduction. We even come pick it up. To find out more, call 966-5299. When the time comes to change vehicles, think of Jazz 90.1 and call 966-5299. Celebrating 20 years on air, Soundbites on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Jazz 90.1 is supported in part by our members and the Incredibly Edible Cookie Company. The Incredibly Edible Cookie Company, located in Rochester, New York, is an artisan bakery that uses fresh ingredients in all their products. They feature chocolate coconut blizzards, ooey gooey quads, 3 varieties of hot chocolate, decadent chocolate enrobed brownies, and a chocolate bark that may be customized to your taste. Tea time confections, brownies, handmade chocolates, and favors are available for any special event. For more information, you may visit www.iecc-cookie.com.
If you've made home improvements by adding energy-efficient insulation, windows, and heating and cooling systems, you can claim 30% of the cost, up to $1,500 combined for 2009 and 2010. And if you haven't made any improvements in 2009, you can still make them through 2010 and claim them on next year's return. A second credit is available for alternative energy equipment like solar electric systems and geothermal heat pumps, but they have to be certified. A public service message from the New York State Society of Certified Public Accountants.
Join us on Sundays 5 to 7 on Jazz 90.1 for Big Road Blues, an exploration of vintage blues spanning the 1920s through the 1970s. Tune in to Big Road Blues with host Jeff Harris as he digs deep into blues history, spotlighting blues legends and forgotten blues heroes. Along the way, he'll fill you in on the stories and history behind the music. That's Big Road Blues every Sunday 5 to 7 on Jazz 90.1 with your host, Jeff Harris.
Greetings, this is Mike Kincaid. Please join me for foreground music, Sundays 3 to 5 p.m. on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And at 43 minutes after the hour, grab your seats, boys and girls. Yes, it's that time once again. Get your footy jammies on, grab a mug of hot cocoa, sit Indian style in a semicircle around the rocking chair, because if we could slap them awake, it's time for Story Hour with Uncle Dave. Uncle Dave? Uncle Dave?
Yep.
It's Story Hour, Uncle Dave.
Yeah, I know.
Tell us a story.
Oh, you really want to hear one?
Please.
All right. That's the only way I can say to this guy, he is an idiot. And this is why I'm so upset. When somebody gets really porky with me because they sit there and I can't back up their porn. And they wonder why, you know, oh, what do you mean? And you're going to charge me? Wait a minute. Hello, there's other things in life than that. Yes, it's all legal stuff in that. But, you know, if the hard drive is dead, the hard drive is dead. And then don't try to rip on me, sitting there saying, well, why should I pay for anything? Well, I spent some time trying to get your data off of your hard drive. And, oh, I can't do it. The next step, and I told him if he wanted to, is send it off to a couple of different companies. I have brochures and everything else. And
expect to pay a couple $1,000s
yes,
more.
So I got back to him. I said, well, where's your backups? Well, yeah.
Right. Or spend $100 for a backup drive ahead of time.
Yeah. Answering that, well, why the heck would I do that? It's only my porn pictures. Well, that ain't that important to you then. And don't sit there, you know, be a dick.
You can always download more porn.
You would think so. It can't be found.
Yeah.
There's a cautionary tale for all of us, I think.
I mean, you know, give me a break, Eastie. It was one of these weeks. They were like crawling out of the woodwork. We had a lot of folks. We're having issues because there is a number of, especially the security 2010 Trojan out there right now that's attacking a lot of machines.
A lot of
taking
machines.
It over. And we had one person kept going home. We cleaned the machine up. We cleaned it off three times. Turn around and we told him, don't go to that site. He'd take it home. Guess where his kids went?
Yep.
Back to that site. And it's like, you know, sorry, I can't help it. You know, I can't be there at your house telling your kids not to go there. So we had that going. And then this guy coming in and then ripping on me because I couldn't save his porn. You know what? Get a life. Oh, just ticked me on off. It was the last straw in that pile. And I just exploded.
Right. And, well, you know, God bless him. He's confident enough in himself that he can tell you about his porn and tell you to back it up. I guess that's a good thing. I guess. Trying to put a little silver lining on that one.
I've had to go on service calls to fix people's porn. In fact, he was so upset that all of the internet providers have stopped carrying news groups because he used to get all his porn from news groups. So, and there's no free news group service anymore.
Yeah, there is. It's on Google. I'm sorry. I shouldn't tell you that.
No, they don't.
They won't do the porn ones.
Yeah,
they don't do the porn ones. Yeah, Microsoft, I think, still does. Microsoft used to have their own news service.
Yeah, a lot of companies have their own news service for their own products, but I don't think they carry
really?
General
Usenet.
Really? Seriously?
How old school are you that you have to get your porn from Usenet?
He had a very specific taste.
Okay.
Don't even want to go there. Then. You know, because folks know, you know, my stand on that stuff, and you know, if it's legal.
Well,
stuff,
you know what? If it's legal, it's legal. Yeah. I'm right there with child porn and all that stuff. I'll be first in line with the rusty spoon.
I'll turn in my own family members.
That's exactly right. Absolutely, I won't stand for that stuff. Mm-mm. But if it's legal, it's legal. Yeah.
Did you hear? There's two interesting, dangerous precedents being set. There was a guy. I have to find the story. Guy's been convicted of child porn for Simpsons cartoons. There's a whole subclass of cartoon porn. And it was the kids on The Simpsons.
It's Rule 37, isn't
right.
it?
But The Simpsons are more than 20 years old. But There was another law about if they appear underage,
it gives me a headache.
Yeah, if they appear underage, it doesn't matter if they are of legal age. And then there's a bill pending in, I think it was Australia, that they want to ban flat-chested women from advertisements and magazines because that's pandering to pedophiles.
Righty.
So it's really weird people trying to make really crazy, unenforceable laws.
It's rule 37. We're going to put Uncle Dave back under again, I guess. And so, you know, the footy jammies and the everything, we're done. We're done with that.
Yeah.
That's the kind of thing that does make me. You didn't know about Rule 37?
Federal Rule 37, failure to make disclosures in corporate discovery and the sanctions thereof.
No, Rule 37. Rule 37 on the internet.
Yeah, I know that.
If it exists, there is porn of it.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, that's why, you know, a lot of folks think I'm kidding. You know, when they bring
No, it's Rule 34.
Oh, Rule 34. You're right. I apologize. It's Rule 34. 34, 37. What's three among friends, after all?
Well, it's like the other story that I've told before. You know, a lot of folks will sit there and, you know, tell me, well, don't look at my pictures on the computer. And they think I'm joking, you know, and this applies to every service person out there. If you're told not to, say, look at pictures, you know what? By law now, then I have to.
Yeah.
Because if there was anything that shouldn't be on it, and we know all what I'm talking about here,
yep.
I have to report it.
Otherwise, you're just as guilty as they are.
And that's what people don't understand.
And if you want to do something illegal, you know what? Okay, but I don't want to do anything illegal. So don't expect me to aid and abet you.
Because here's the scenario, folks, and listen to me on this one. Because you could sit there, bring it in, and you tell me don't look at your pictures, and if I don't, and all of a sudden you get, you know, nailed by the FBI or whatever, and they go, well, I just had it into Enrights, and they didn't say anything, and I told them not to look at my pictures, they didn't say anything. I'm just as guilty as you.
And pretty much we wouldn't have looked at them anyway.
Yeah.
Unless you tell us there's a problem with them.
I mean, yeah, I have turned in, I think, over the 20-plus years that I've been in, I think it's 4 folks. And they were dumb that they'd sit there and label the, you know, the folders triple X, you know, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, because whenever we restore things, the one thing that normally I do on most people's computers that they always worry about is they worry about their bookmarks, their emails, any documents, pictures, and music. So usually those are the 5 items.
Yeah, right.
Then when we're trying to restore stuff, I check those. And, I mean, I'll just quick check them. I don't go through every one. I mean, some people have family photos on there. That's one other thing that they were talking about, laws and everything else. One person got turned in because they had their kids, you know, saying, I know my parents had one of me. I don't know where the heck it is. Thank God. I think it's got destroyed. But sitting on the bed, you know, as a baby.
Right.
And they take a picture of your nude laying on it or in the tub.
In the bathtub or running in a sprinkler in a hot summer.
Right,
right.
We've all had those pictures when we were kids.
I've heard about photo developers that have called the police on photographers because they shows up in their photo development.
Yep. And they'll sit there and say, well, that's porn. It's like, you know. No.
Yeah, I know. I know. Yeah.
So that brings up becomes the definition of porn, the illicit to pander. And... Yeah, you know, so and the difference between porn and art,
but
then the courts are trying to decide all the time.
And here's one thing, though, folks, you can be rest assured of, and I can say this emphatically: they will never send you emails or solicit you. Or you will never see sites automatically just pop open for the child porn. You will never. You have to go hunt them out. So don't worry that, you know, all of a sudden it's going to pop up and be on your machine. It will not happen. Trust me on this.
Right, right.
You've got to go looking for it. They're a quiet society. They don't want exposure. They want to be under the radar. It's the last thing they want to do is be exposed. Because, you know, it could be jail time for a lot of these guys.
Well, and I know from...
I'd love to find them, though.
If they do find kiddie porn on your machine, then they have the right to go and look at your. They'll get a warrant. Go look at the rest of your email and who is in your contact list to
and
check
where you,
all of
where
them.
Where are you going
and,
surfing? Yeah, exactly. And so trust us on that. You know, like I say, you won't run into that issue. You know,
I got involved in one of those cases years ago. The FBI actually came to me and asked me to you know, check a machine and download some stuff. And, man, I felt dirty. And I was in an FBI office. I was doing the work right in front of them, and I felt dirty. I took a week off from work, and I just sat around in my living room shaking. It was disgusting.
Well, I had to do a deposition, you know, and it was early in the morning. That literally totally killed my whole day.
Yeah.
It was like, you know what? Like you say,
I was a couple of days of downloading and checking and restoring files and this and that. Now they got people who do it. They have their own, yeah. But in those days. And so it was a couple of days of that. I took the rest of the week off and just sat at home and just shook. And I didn't even have a child at that point. And it really hit me hard. It hit me hard.
It's scary. Very scary.
You know, God bless the people who do that in the law enforcement community. I understand that, you know, they're like doctors. They have to divorce themselves mentally and emotionally from what they're doing. Mm. I can't do it. Well, I could never be a doctor. I could never do that for a living. Because boy, I'd want to go get an Uzi and start taking some people out.
Yeah,
I cannot stand that.
Yep. No.
Well, that's not a good note.
No,
let's not end the show on that.
Yeah, let's not end the show. Let's go to another news item. Microsoft warned on Wednesday that a flaw in its Internet Explorer browser, I hope you were all sitting down, gives attackers access to files stored on a PC under certain conditions. Our investigation so far has shown that if a user is using a version of Internet Explorer, I can't read that. That is now running in protected mode. An attacker may be able to access files with an already known file name and location, Microsoft said in a security advisory. The vulnerability requires that an attacker knows the name of the file they want to access. It said the disclosure is the latest security problem affecting IE. Last month, an undisclosed vulnerability in 6 was used in the attacks that had targeted more than 20 U.S. companies, including Google, which blamed China. So be very careful. There will be a monthly security patch out of cycle for that one. So please be looking for that and install it when it comes. We are done for another week. So I want to thank Dave Enright, Steve Ray. I'm Nick Francesco. How much time have I got? 30 seconds or 60 seconds? 40 seconds? 20 seconds?
You got 30 seconds.
I got 30 seconds, so I can tell you that you've been listening to the longest-running computer show in the known universe. We are Soundbites, and we will see you next week, same bad time, same bad channel, right here on the great member-supported, and take that hint, ladies and gentlemen, member-supported Jazz 90.1. So give us your money, and we'll see you next week.
America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, celebrating 20 years.